you. Well, who knows what today is? Anybody? Sunday. You're right. Independence Day. TJ, what's 2 days from now? Today is also 2 days before TJ's birthday. He told me that this morning. 2 days, Daddy. Yes, today is Independence Day. Freedom. America celebrates a day when we declared our freedom from Britain. I think it was last year one of my Facebook friends said that it's also, in England, it's known as Traitor Day or something like that. The day that we declared. England maybe doesn't, they don't hold that against us anymore, but I'm sure back then it was a big deal for America to declare freedom from them. So as I thought about freedom, what is freedom? Liberty, you hear freedom and liberty thrown around a lot. And we live in a land that has lots and lots of freedom. So much so that I think that we take it for granted many times. And we also are blessed with freedom from God, freedom from sin. And I think we take that for granted oftentimes as well. This morning, I'd like to start in Luke 4, verses 18 and 19. And Jesus had just read from the book of Isaiah. Maybe I'll read verse 17 or verse 16 and 17 as well to give you a little background. It says, "So he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord.'" And as he read these scriptures, these words of Isaiah, we have liberty. And what hit me was he said, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. So who are oppressed? John 8, verse 31 to 36. Jesus had just before this, he had told the woman who was caught in adultery that to go and sin no more. And then, as he spoke the words, it said that Jews, verse 30 says that many believed in him. Verse 31 said, "Then Jesus said to the Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin, and a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." And as I read verse 33, where Jesus, in verse 32, Jesus just said, "We make you free." Verse 33, they said, "We are Abraham's descendants. We have never been in bondage to anyone." We can say the same thing. We are Americans. We have never been in bondage. Us, in this group, we have never been in bondage to anyone. You know, we're not slaves, we're not in bondage. How can we be made free? But as he said in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, where he said at liberty those who are oppressed. Then he says in verse 34, Whoever commits sin is a slave to sin. So we are oppressed. We are oppressed by the sin that we commit. We are a slave to sin. But if we are His disciples, if we abide in Him, we can be free. Verse 36 says, "Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." So if we are slaves to sin, I'm going to move on to Romans 5. And as I studied these verses, I wanted to read from chapter 5 all the way through chapter 8. But for sake of time, I didn't. I'm not going to. I'm going to read quite a bit of it, though. Chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. It says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have also access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us." So we have been justified. First verse is, we have been justified by faith through our Lord Jesus Christ. So if we've accepted Him, then we've been justified. I'm going to jump back down to verse 6, and it says, "For when we are still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly." We say, that's nice. Christ died for the ungodly. That's good. They need to be saved. Verse 7 says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, still sinners, Christ died for us." We were the ungodly. We are the ungodly. If you've not accepted Christ, you are the ungodly. Christ died for us. "Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation." So we have now, because of His death, we can rejoice in God, because through Jesus Christ, we have received that reconciliation. We have received that freedom. And then I'm going to go to chapter 6. And I'm going to skip down to verse 14. And it says, "What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that once slaves who you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness?" We're going to serve someone. Each one of us here is going to serve someone. You can't get away from it. There is no such thing as earthly freedom here on earth. You're either going to serve God or you're going to serve man. You think about it. We have as much freedom as anyone in America, as anyone in the world. So if I'm free to do whatever I want, I don't want to work anymore. How long does that last? Till the money runs out. Not very long. How about the freedom of the open road? You can get out there and just drive and drive and drive. Well, there's limits to that too. There's speed limits. Depending on what you're driving, Jay is going to have to... There's weight limits to what you can drive a big truck over, bridges. There's height limits. You can't just drive something that's too tall, it'll go under a bridge. How about maybe if we got our pilot's license, we can go wherever we want to. Gordon, can we go wherever we want to and fly wherever we want to? Can you fly? When a commercial airline could, do they have to fly a certain height? So there might be some reason they fly at a certain height. Can they fly as low as they want to? So there's all kinds of requirements for that. They can fly only so low, right? So there's limits. Even in something as open as the air, you know, the sky, as vast, there's no roads, you can fly wherever you want to. But there's still limits. If you want to go fishing, there's fishing limits. If you want to go hunting, there's hunting limits. If not, try catching and killing, or killing all that you want to kill and posting it on Facebook once and see what happens. You think of somebody that was in prison, and they get released from prison, and they're free. And yet, when they become free from prison, suddenly they've got to go to work, and they've got to obey the laws that are outside the prison just as well as the laws as they did when they were inside a prison. There's no such thing as earthly freedom. Yet we know that we can have freedom in Christ. Verse 16 again, it says, "To whom you present yourself slaves to obey, you are that one's slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death, or of obedience leading to righteousness. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness." So we've been released from that sin by believing in Jesus Christ. We've been set free. And we became slaves of righteousness. Slaves of Jesus Christ to do what He has called us to do. "I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death." So when we were in sin and when slaves of sin, you produce fruit. One of the other things that's going to happen, you're going to produce fruit. It doesn't matter what you do, you're going to produce fruit, whether it's good fruit or bad fruit. Cause and effect. Sowing and reaping. You're going to produce fruit. Is it fruit that you're going to be ashamed of? Verse 21 says, "What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death." How many of us look back on our lives and we think of things we did when we were young and foolish and we were ashamed of them? Verse 22, "But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life." So now we become slaves of God, servants of Him. Now our fruit is to holiness. Now we're producing good fruit. In the end, everlasting life. Then verse 23. "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." And then we're going to jump down to chapter 8. 1 to 11. It says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Because of that Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, it has made us free. We have freedom from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Christ came and died to fulfill the law so that we didn't have to live under that old law anymore. We could be free from that old law. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not His. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him who has raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. You see the two contrasts again. And Paul is bringing it out to the Romans again. There's two different ways. Carnally minded. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Which one are you? Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. If we're living for our flesh, we cannot be subject to God, to the law of God. It says, so then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. We cannot please Him. It says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not His. Christ died so that we could have freedom. Let's not take it for granted. Verse 10 says then, if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. How often is it difficult to die to self? I don't know why it is that it is difficult when things happen. We want to make that old self, and we talked about it in Sunday school this morning. Pride. It rears its ugly head. And it's hard to put it down. Live that life of righteousness. Then verse 11 says, but if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. We need to be living in Christ. We need to have Christ dwelling in us. It says He will give life to your mortal bodies. In closing, I have one more scripture. John 19, verse 28 to 30. Jesus is on the cross. He has endured a horrible night of pain, agony, betrayal. He has seen His disciples deny Him. And like it says in Romans 5, it says, for when we were still without strength in due time, Christ died for us. Verse 8 says, "But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." John 19, 28, Christ is on the cross. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, said, "I thirst." Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled it with a sponge with sour wine, put it on hyssop, and put it to his mouth. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. And he died for me. He died for you. He died for each one of us. Why? So that we could have that freedom. So that we could be free. Free from sin. Free to live a life worthy to produce fruit. Good fruit. We're going to be slaves, people. We're going to serve somebody. Are we going to serve ourselves? Are we going to serve God? We have a choice to make. No such thing as freedom here on earth. This is all I have. Why don't we stand for prayer? We'll be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. I just want to thank you for your word that we have. Father, I thank you that you came here to earth knowing the task at hand, and you lived a life worthy of being spotless. And you came and you died for our sins that we could have freedom in you. Father, I thank you for the sacrifice that you made on Calvary that day, that we could be set free from sin. Father, I pray that we would not take it for granted. Father, I pray that we would apply your word to our lives. I pray that we would produce good fruit. Not fruit that we'd be ashamed of, but fruit that would be the fruit of righteousness, of holiness. Father, I pray that you would just be with us today as we go from here. I ask that you would just be with each one who is here this morning. Father, I pray that you would give them safety as they travel home. As they go about the day, Father, I pray that you would watch over them and protect them. Father, for those who are not able to make it this morning, I pray that you would give them a good day as well, and you would give them safety also. For those who have lost loved ones, Father, I pray that you would comfort them. You'd be very near to them. For those who are sick among us, Father, I pray that you would just give healing to them as well. I ask that you would just go with us today. Give us a good day. Father, I pray that we would bring honor and glory to you by the things that we say and do today. In your name I pray. Amen. You're dismissed.